Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Please be seated. Once a year when I was in college, several of the Christian chaplaincies would hold a Taizé service. Taizé is a ecumenical Christian community in France, a monastic community made up of both Catholic and Protestant monks that work for justice and peace, and they have a particular worship style to them that's very meditative, that has a lot of chants, like those lines I just sang, chants that kind of get you into yourself and into your body so you can kind of feel yourself expand outward as you're worshiping in a community that just keeps singing this refrain over and over again. It's a strange request, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's a strange request to ask of Jesus, isn't it? A man who's just been arrested for treason, for actions done against the government, the empire. A man who's been beaten and imprisoned for speaking against authority. The punishment for treason then, as now, was death, death on the cross. Pretty much only those who worked against the Roman government would be on that cross. And so the two men hanging with Jesus, they're not petty thieves. They're not even murderers, necessarily. They're insurrectionists, just like Jesus. They worked just as hard to overthrow the rule of a government, of an occupying force that they so desperately wanted to have a different leader, to not be ruled by King Herod, to not be overseen by the emperor, that they too resisted and wound up on a cross next to Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What could that man hanging on the cross with Jesus possibly have expected in that moment? That the charge against, though the charge against Jesus written on a piece of wood that was also nailed to that cross, you know, King of the Jews, what did this other insurgent hope for in that moment? That the people that had welcomed Jesus as he made his way into Jerusalem just a few days before, that they would, the populace would rise up, take arms up, pull Jesus safe from the cross, and Jesus would then instruct his followers to save this other man as well? Did he hope that God would send a heavenly army down to save God's Messiah, topple the duly installed leader, overthrow the government that was in power and establish Jesus as king? None of these things happened. Jesus died on that cross, along with two radical revolutionaries who desired freedom and liberation. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today is the Feast of Christ the King, which marks really the end of the church year. It's kind of our New Year's Eve of sorts. And it's interesting, we began this church year 52 weeks ago with the announcement of the birth of a child. And we spent the whole year reflecting on the life of that child. And now we see him hung on a cross and yet proclaim that as our king. Kind of a weird feast day, isn't it? You know, especially for Americans who fought a war against a monarchy, you know, we don't really need a king. We haven't for hundreds of years, right? We have this national pride against anything that kind of smacks of royal language. So a feast day that focuses on Christ the King can sound a little archaic to our modern ears. Even though there's plenty of kingly language in the Bible and in the New Testament, Christians, we've only been celebrating the reign of Christ for less than 100 years, which surprised me when I found that fact out. I mean, we've been worshiping, you know, Advent and Lent almost since the beginning, feasts of Pentecost and Ascension or feasts of martyrs. But this feast, this kingship, is brand new in our history. Pope Pius XI instituted this feast day in 1925. And he did that because Europe and the United States had just been involved in the most atrocious war humanity had known up to that point, the First World War. It was a war that saw a new level of brutality brought on by technology like machine guns and warplanes and poison gas that crept unseen across battlefields. And responding to the rising secularism and that followed that war and the nationalism that led to that war, in a time when fascism was on the rise, Pope Pius sought to remind Christians that we do not owe our allegiance to any earthly political leader. No Kaiser or prince or czar or president has any right to demand our worship and structure our lives. Only Jesus is our King. Pope Pius wrote, "Christ must reign in our wills, which should obey the laws and precepts of God. Christ must reign in our hearts, which should spurn natural desires, and love God above all things, and cleave to God alone. Christ must reign in our bodies and in our members, which should serve as instruments for the interior sanctification of our souls." I find it interesting that the whole reason that Catholics and Anglicans, Lutherans, that Christians around the world on this day focus our worship on around the theme of Christ our King, because it's a day that the Pope wanted to highlight also the insidiousness of the sin of nationalism, right? Countries and the people of those countries, Christian countries, were killing each other off, just as we've done for millennia, because the leader they followed, because of their national pride, that they put those things over and above all other allegiance, especially allegiance to God. It's something that we haven't actually repented of yet. As a multitude of sins continue in our society to this day, all housed under the umbrella of nationalism. In the 1920s, fascism was just beginning to rear its ugly head in Italy and Germany. And the evilness of that ideology continues to poison our world today with its threats that undermine democracy and freedom, its focus on one nation that's better than others, one race that's better than others, one religion that's over all others. In the nearly 100 years that we've celebrated Jesus as our King, we have not advanced as far as we should have against these evils of nationalism and fascism. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What kind of king would Jesus be? What kind of kingdom are we longing for and praying for? Truthfully, Jesus is probably not the king or ruler or president we would seek to rule our country. He'd never win an election focused on immigrants and refugees and the devastation of bodies because of disease and poverty. His commands to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and to visit those in prison. In an election, we seek out those things and people that we hope will grant us a measure of security, right? People who we hope will affirm our values. And sometimes, when we're feeling particularly frightened or at risk or left behind, sometimes we may even accept leaders who decidedly are against some of our values, but that we hope will offer us some measure of security and prosperity in the world. We vote for someone essentially who will provide us with a better tomorrow. And candidates from both parties are always trying to be that person for us. But Jesus doesn't do that. He refuses to come in power, but instead appears in abject vulnerability. He doesn't mock those who mock him. He doesn't vow retribution on his enemies. Instead, he offers forgiveness. He doesn't come down from his cross to prove his kingly status, but instead he remains on that instrument of torture and humiliation, becomes the representative of all who suffer unjustly. And Jesus does not promise us a better tomorrow. Instead, he offers to redeem our today. Right? Jesus doesn't tell his neighbor on the cross that someday in the future he will enter God's presence, but instead says, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus has always been focused on our today. How is it even possible for Jesus to redeem our today, even as he hangs on the cross? Because Jesus isn't the king that we expect. Everything about Jesus is actually anti-king. But he's absolutely the leader we need. And if we make Jesus our first allegiance, above country, above political party, above nationality, above whatever in-group status we think we have, if Jesus is our King and not someone else, then everything we do today changes. From the cross, Jesus reminds us that far from promising us a better future, he redeems our today, not only forgiving us for the things which we have done or left undone, but also setting us free so that we can stand with those in need around us, advocating for their welfare, demanding for their just treatment, and seeing in them the very presence of God, who always takes the side of the vulnerable. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This is the kingdom we need on earth, the kingdom that breaks into our world and glimpses every day, the kingdom we help usher in as we walk in love with Jesus. Thank you.